Welcome to the Barons Hideout Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin.
And I'm your co-host, Dean, and we'd like to let you know where you can find us.
The best way to find our socials is on our link tree at the Barons Hideout, which has our Twitter, Instagram, and podcast links.
And you can find me on Instagram at Dean of the Dead Hot Sauce, on Facebook under Dean Sharp, and also my website, www.deanofthedead.com.
Lastly, if you wish to support us further, you can subscribe to our Patreon for $1 a month. Now, to the show. I'm your host, Dustin. Today, we're going to be reviewing and talking about the latest Dracula movie, The Last Voyage of the Demeter. So, I saw this one day before the official release, because you know how some theaters like to go and, you know, show them on a day before the actual release, like on a Thursday, or in some weird cases, when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie dropped, they were showing it on a Tuesday instead of the Wednesday. So I went to go see this on Thursday, last Thursday, and I didn't really look up a lot for this film. I think I maybe saw one trailer and that was it. I didn't really have any kind of hype around it, no expectations or anything like that. But I knew it was a Dracula film. I guess my first thoughts, like when it started circling around, I was like, Dracula film on a boat, and it's supposed to be taking place during the one part of the Bram Stoker's Dracula story that every movie skips over for some weird reason. So when it first like popped up, I was like, oh, this is gonna be kind of bad. I don't know how I'm gonna think of it. Dracula doesn't look all that great. But upon seeing it, I want to say I was delighted. Without going into any spoilers or anything like that right now, I'm going to keep it all below the belt. And we're going to talk about this film very, very briefly. So I guess before we take a dive into my thoughts and everything, let's kind of go over the plot synopsis, who directed it, who's in it. And then we can go over to my thoughts and then go forward. So on IMDb, it states, a crew sailing from, I'm going to be bad with this, Carpathia to England find that they are carrying very dangerous cargo. And it says it was based on a single chapter, The Captain's Log, from Bram Stoker's classic 1897 novel, Dracula. Which, you know, for it being just one chapter, what did they say? Did they say one page? No, a single chapter, sorry. it's pretty astonishing how much they were able to pull from this. The rating on IMDb is a 6.6 out of 10. Let's go over to Rotten Tomatoes. Nope, same thing that was stated over on IMDb. And the scores here on Rotten Tomatoes is the tomato meter is 48% with 120 reviews. I'll comment on that later. And the audience score is 73% with 100 plus reviews. See if we have anything for budget. No budget. Release August 11th, 2023. Runtime is 1 hour and 58. Was directed by Andre Odorivaldal. I'm really, really bad, but he did like, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. He did that movie. He did, Troll Hunter and things like that, which I enjoy both of those films. And for our leads is Corey Hawkins, who plays Clemens, Aisling. Oh, don't know how to say that. Anna, Liam Cunningham, which, I guess for people who watched Game of Thrones would know he was there. I didn't watch a single Game of Thrones. This is telling me that. David Das Mulchen, who plays Warcheck. And I will say, actually, I'll touch on that after, and others, but those are like the main ones. So I guess going into my thoughts on this film without spoiling anything or going into any kind of in-depth looks with this film is, it's actually really refreshing to see a movie that is pure cinema. Pure, just, I'm going to go and throw a monster at you and you're here for the ride. There's no fucking underneath tones or anything. I mean, there's a few, but like, it's not like in your face. It's just a film to go and just have fun and see these characters go through this thing that you are there for the ride. But very, very fun. The ship design and but how big they make it feel is really cool. The storms and seeing, like, because it's pretty much all on sea. That's not a spoiler or anything. Like, there'll be times where you're just looking at the horizon and you'll see like storm clouds on one side and then like sunshine on the other. And it's so beautiful, but so haunting. And, I like the ocean, but I'm also very afraid of it. So, this film was giving me a little bit of sickness because of that, of being like, oh my God, they're in the open water way back then, you know, where, everything had to be really manned by crews. I mean, they still do, but in this time, like, you really had to make sure you were pinpointing on everything. If one thing goes wrong, you're fucked. But the crew, how they all like mingle and get upset at each other every now and then, and the bantering that goes on is really fun and cool. And the little boy that's in here does a great job. There's a lot of really great acting in this, and to see it all kind of just go to shit. One thing I will say, this is not a spoiler, but it's really, really hard to... This is the one thing that the film did for me, is, you know already, because this is a Dracula film and it's part of Bram Stoker's Dracula, that essentially this crew, they're not going to make it, right? So it's really hard for you, or at least for me at first, to want to like somebody, because you're like, oh, are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? Because in the back of your mind, you're like, this is a Dracula film. No one's going to make it. So at first, I was really not trying to like hold on to any of the characters, which I think is one thing that may be a flaw for this, knowing what the source material is and whatnot. But anyway, the film is great. Cinematography is on par. How they use shadows and lighting and storms and sound is really, really cool. So anybody who is looking for a new Dracula film that's actual Dracula and from the actual like story, go check this out. See it in theaters. This is a movie that needs to be seen on the big screen because of how beautiful this film is and just how haunting a lot of these things are and how it really plays with your emotions and makes you want to feel safe, but you don't anywhere. It's really, really cool. So I say for right now, we're going to jump into spoilers because a lot of things I want to talk about and I can't in this section. But before we do, we have to say thank you to our sponsors. Hello, let's take a second to talk about our sponsor for this video, Dubby Energy. This is a drink that has helped me kick 100% all soda. I don't crave soda anymore, and if I try to go drink any soda, I get a really bad taste. Like, you can taste the syrup and all the sugar that's in there. But Dubby, it's like more water than anything else, so it's super hydrating and keeps you hydrated, and it also gives you clean and very natural energy. There's no sugar, No fillers, no artificial dyes. It's just powder. You put it in a drink, shake it all up. There's a little ball inside that mixes up the powder with water, and you're good to go. It was a long time coming, honestly, for me to kick soda, because I was addicted to it, and I would have it almost every single day, multiple times a day. I still drink coffee, and that's something I don't think I'm ever going to kick, because I enjoy my coffee, and when I don't want, you know, an energy drink, and I want something, well, a little bit bolder, I would have a coffee, and that also gives me a lot of energy, but not as much as this. But coffee, sometimes I can come down and I can crash pretty hard. But if you're looking for a nice, clean energy, try out Dubby. You guys will come on down very nice and smooth. No jitters, no headache, nothing. When I drink this whole thing of Dubby, I have about 5 to 6 hours worth of energy. And I come down very, very easily. So if you guys are in the market for trying something new, head over to Dubby and use our code BHOPOD for 10% off anything in cart. So you want to go try it, they have free packs. You can get a shaker. If you like it, stick with it. And you can just keep using that code over and over again. And every time you do it, 10% off anything on their site. So thank you, Dubby, and thank you for everybody supporting the show. Thank you, as always, everybody, for sticking through a couple minutes of me talking about the wonderful sponsor. All right, let's go into spoilers now. Because there's just things in here that I really want to highlight, and it's really hard to do that when we're in a non-spoiler section. So right off the bat, you opening scene, like you already see the wreckage of the ship. And that's what I meant by, like, it's hard for you to already going into this want to get yourself attached to a certain character. Normally when I'm watching a movie, there's always like one or two people that I attach myself to and I get drawn to. But with this film, with you already seeing what the outcome is of this ship and the crew, and you there's somebody on the side that tells you, like, don't even, like, go on board, because it's essentially a bloodbath, right? Like, there's people dead on board. So this, you have that in the back of your mind, and then you kind of go back a couple of weeks to where you get introduced to all the characters. You got Clemens, you got the captain, you got Warchek, you got all of these people, right? Really wonderful setting too, seeing this big area of this essentially docking spot plus markets and everything, and everybody's in, like, proper attire. It's really, really, really cool. And then they, you know, the captain and Warchek go off, and they're looking for hands on deck, because they're short a couple, and they need to make this this trip to England by a certain time, so that way they can get their reward or their payment. If they don't get there on time, then they're not going to be able to get their payment. So they run through these people. There's some, like, comical bits that happen, and then you get introduced to Clemens pretty early, and he gets on board. He saves the captain's son. And as soon as you get on board, or even before then, you know shit's going south, because one of the crates cracks and the dirt's coming out, right? So that happens. They go on board, and then you start meeting all the rest of the cast and the crew. You meet all the shipmates, essentially, and you see what they're doing, and you get sort of a layout of the ship early on, and it doesn't seem that big at first. But as the movie progresses and you start unraveling things that are going on, like, at one point, Clemens goes down and there's a girl in dirt, because they hear a noise and she's just laying in dirt. And as anybody knows from the story and previous movies, that when Dracula moves from Transylvania and he goes somewhere else, he brings his dirt, so that way he has a home, so he can stay there. His crate is in there, like, it's highlighted, but you never really see what's going on. But as soon as the girl is let out, all hell starts breaking loose. Dracula starts to get uneasy, and he essentially gets out of his crypt, right? And the reason why she was there, and she explains it, is that she was there to be essentially food for him, so that way he could stay down there and stealth, not have to break out, just use her, go back in, use her, go back in. But that got fucked up. And then things start going on, and in this really cool sequence of the first time that he's really let out at night, it's with Clemens and one of the other shipmates, and he hears something, and you see Dracula, you see him there, and he's just skinny and all dark and just haunting. And the way that they made Dracula look in this film, I think, is really cool. It's all, from what I understand, most of it is practical effects. It is actual makeup. I was watching a couple of videos of the actor who's playing him, you know, get dressed up. But I think they exaggerate it in CGI sometimes, when it gets close-ups and his mouth is like wide open. There's no way someone can open up their mouth that wide. They do that, and then, you know, people start dying. There's a really sad moment, which didn't really hit me. I really wanted it to hit me. This is a huge spoiler. The son on the ship essentially gets bit and turns into a vampire and then starts burning alive. And, well, actually, it's the grandson of the captain, and he was supposed to bring him to England, and this was going to be the captain's last voyage. He was going to hand the ship down to Warcheck. And by the way, there's a new drinking game. Every time you hear Warcheck, you need to take a shot or something. Like, you're going to get hammered. Because there's one section in this movie where, for like, it seems like 5 minutes straight, they're just calling out Warcheck's name the entire time. And, like, I was laughing in my seat. I was like, are you kidding me? How? Why are they doing this? Like, what does this add to the story? But that's like way down the line. So I wanted to highlight the grandson's death. I wish it was more impactful than it was. I don't know why it didn't hit me so hard. Usually things like that hit me because I'm a father. But it didn't really in this film. But people start going down in madness, essentially. They lose food. Dracula essentially kills all of the livestock that's on board. So they are only left with fruits and vegetables, and they have a 4-week journey. So it's crazy. And then this is one time, this one shot that I love so much is when the cook, he takes the lifeboat out because he's fucking done, right? He's like, I'm out of here. He believes in God and all these other things, and he's holding on to his faith. But he goes on this lifeboat, and then you hear flapping, and you're like, oh no. And it's so dark and misty, right? So, like, you as the viewer, you're already scared, right? Because he's in the middle of, you got to remind yourself, he's in the middle of the ocean, and he's paddling his way out, and it's all fogged up. And you hear this flapping going on, and then boom, right on the back of the boat. And then he turns around, and then Dracula just lunges at him. That was a great moment. I love that so much. But there's a lot of things that happen in here that's kind of creepy. Seeing essentially other victims that have been turned into vampires be overtaken by Dracula because their eyes like turn white, essentially. Like, they are now in control. They are Dracula's slaves right now. You got to do what you got to do. So the first guy to really turn goes after the grandson before he dies, and he's like banging his head against the door, and it's really creepy, crazy. There's a lot of really cool atmospheric things in this film that I love. I love a lot. And this film, out of all the other movies I've seen this year, this screams cinema to me. This screams movie-going experience that you need to go to a theater and see this. I loved Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, Andre's like previous film, and that was rated PG-13. I think this one, if I am correct, yeah, this one is rated R. So he definitely upped the ante with practical effects and blood and gore and seeing people really like get their throats ripped out. It's really, really fucking cool. So seriously, anybody who's like on the fence of seeing this or being like, oh, I'm done with Dracula movies, you need to see this. It definitely has like its flaws, and I'm sure like the more times I watch this, the more it's going to pop out. But I've only seen it once so far, and I have a ticket to see it again this week. But I really just wanted to touch on how the atmosphere was and how big the ship feels, and seeing how the cast and crew kind of interact with each other, and Dracula's presence on board, even when he's not there, because he's actually really not in the film that much. It's more of just the characters, and the ship itself is obviously its own character. Like, this is a single location film, and I love single location films, like 100%. And I guess the one other thing I want to highlight.
Oh, sorry, one second.
Been a very long day, guys. The other thing I want to highlight is at the end, the very end, they leave you with a slither of hope that maybe there will be a follow-up. But I don't know if they're going to do that because there's already been so many. But it's essentially, because Clemens is like the only survivor off of this whole thing, and obviously other than Dracula, Clemens survives, and now he's in England, and obviously Dracula's in England now, and he sees him at like this pub bar, and then follows him out, and then he kind of has this monologue of him saying like, I'm essentially going to find him and end him myself. So I don't know if that's a hint of them maybe doing a follow-up to this. I don't think they really need to, but I guess it would be kind of cool to explore in this version, and how dark and gritty this one is, this version, to see how they would play out and how far they would go. But this is a great film. For a theater experience, I'm going to have to give this a 10 out of 10. Just for the theater experience. Now, my own personal, I would probably end up at like an 8.5 with this, because there are some things in it, like it takes a little bit for it to kind of pick up, for you to be invested. And also, like, the, I don't know if I want to be attached to a certain character, because you know how the story goes. And I guess the grandson's death really like weighs on me as to why didn't that hit me so hard. You know, I wanted it to hit me. Maybe it's because I knew it was happening already. I don't know if all these things are reasons why, with all the other Dracula films, that they kind of skip over the captain's log. I don't know. But seriously, this is a film you need to see. Get your ticket. Do yourself a favor. Go see it. Bring somebody with you. It's a great experience, seriously, seeing this gritty and very, it's very dreadful with how you feel, and knowing that they're all alone on the ship, and that they're, you see the landscape. It's crazy. So 8.5 for me as personally, but as a theater experience, it's a 10 out of 10, really, because of the sound design, how it looks on the screen, and also the audience was really into it. So yeah, this is my quick 20-minute review of The Last Voyage of the Demeter. Didn't go into too much detail, but the things I did want to highlight, I highlighted. So here I go, killing my pumpkin. So go see this in theaters. Don't wait for it to go on VOD. But seriously, thank you everybody who supports the show. See you on the next one. Stay spooky, everybody.